Imagine a world where an entire people has been banished to the sea, forced to build floating cities on vast networks of ships. This is the reality for the Alahans, exiled a century ago by the Kenta Empire. Their only connection to land comes during the annual market, a brief, tightly controlled gathering for essential trade. For 17-year-old Bryn, a guard in training who grew up in the lowest levels of the floating city, this yearly visit represents both danger and an intoxicating taste of freedom. Having no family name or status, she's built her identity around her close-knit group of friends. Kai, the charismatic heir to Alaha's leadership, Messer, whose flirtatious nature masks a tactical mind, and Aurora, a brilliant weapons specialist. When Kai confesses his intention to choose Bryn as his match, a decision that would elevate a nameless urchin to the highest ranks of society, she panics and flees through the marketplace. Her escape leads directly into the grip of a Kenta soldier with dark eyes and a distinctive gold nose ring. In a moment that will change everything, he forces a mysterious green stone into her palm and presses her hand against an ancient wall. Pain like liquid fire courses through her body, awakening abilities that shouldn't be possible for an Alahan. Back aboard their ship, Bryn faces ostracism from the crew, who blame her for endangering the peace. When Kenta leadership demands her surrender for the market incident, she must either marry Kai herself or face Kenta justice as a rebel. The captured Kenta soldier, Acker, insists on speaking only with Bryn. He reveals military secrets while challenging her feelings for Kai, her allegiance to Alaha, and the truth about her parents, stirring long-suppressed doubts. "This is only the beginning, little storm," he whispers. "A farewell that sounds like a promise." When a storm floods the prison cells, Bryn saves Acker. In return, he helps her connect with unknown magic, teaching her to summon a dagger she had cast into the ocean. The metal sings to her blood in a way both foreign and familiar. Their escape becomes irrevocable when Acker speaks a name that strikes her like lightning, Jovi, awakening a fragment of identity she can't quite grasp. As Bryn gradually accepting her true name, Jovi, and Acker escape by boat, the truth unfolds. She wasn't an Alahan orphan, but disappeared during a family visit to Kenta as a child. Her mother still searches for her, while her father's whereabouts remain unknown. Most surprising, the knife Bryn carries is her own creation, a magicked blade that calls to its maker, which is how Acker recognized her. Their sea journey becomes a survival trial with dwindling supplies and Acker nursing a wound. During this time, Jovi undergoes her magical awakening, a painful transformation enhancing her abilities while leaving her temporarily vulnerable. "Magic doesn't like being denied," Acker explains. "It finds ways to express itself." Their relationship deepens, complicated by their rare matching bond, creating a powerful tether between them. Pursued by soldiers in hostile territory, they flee into the forbidden dark forest, where Jovi's magic manifests in a blinding explosion that destroys the entire forest, revealing her extraordinary power as a rare light wielder. Upon reaching the Kenta capital, Jovi discovers Acker is the crown prince, a revelation that shatters her understanding of their relationship. The gleaming marble spires and crystal domes thrust her into a world of masked intentions. King Edmund immediately stands out with his unnaturally youthful appearance despite being over 300 years old. His golden eyes suggest powerful magic sustaining his life, though its source remains secret. In the palace, nobles either dismiss Jovi as a peasant who bewitched their prince or seek her favor as potentially useful. Meanwhile, citizens whisper about her glowing skin and defeat of the Dark Forest. The situation grows complex with Princess Irina, Acker's childhood betrothed. Beautiful and backed by her kingdom's military, Irina represents a political alliance maintaining peace. Acker finds himself torn between royal duty and his deepening connection to Jovi. When King Edmund forces Acker to choose between Jovi as a consort or marrying Irina for the Strahl Alliance, Acker publicly declares his love for Jovi against his father's wishes. Their victory proves fleeting. A shocking truth emerges. Jovi's kidnapping was planned with Kai to infiltrate the royal family and potentially assassinate the king whose policies were starving Alaha. At a royal celebration, Jovi betrays Acker by snapping a magic-suppressing collar on him while her ally attacks. She offers him a choice: take his father's crown to prevent war. When he refuses, she attempts to kill the king but fails when Acker invokes her life debt. In their final confrontation, Acker kisses her desperately before trying to strike her, an action causing him immediate pain from their blood oath. With blood dripping from his nose, he orders her to leave before his rage and heartbreak destroy them both. Isn't it strange how the people we love most can become the architects of our greatest pain? Months after her betrayal, Jovi fights alongside Alahan allies against Strahl warriors. Despite wearing Manji stones to suppress her light-wielding abilities, a desperate situation forces her to remove them. Her dormant magic doesn't simply return, it erupts with unprecedented force. This surge catapults her consciousness through the bond connecting her to Acker, allowing her to inhabit his perspective as he reads in his bedroom, surrounded by his pine and leather scent. The vision turns devastating when Jovi notices a woman sleeping in Acker's bed, her dark hair spread across his pillow. Has he moved on, or married Irina under political pressure? This moment proves that magic doesn't like being denied. Despite their betrayal and separation, the magical bond between Jovi and Acker remains unbreakable, perhaps even strengthening in their time apart. Their connection defies conscious choices and political maneuvering, suggesting their destinies remain intertwined. Metalslinger explores self-discovery through belief disruption. Jovi's journey from Brynn to her authentic self parallels her physical transition from sea to land. Each revelation, her parents' survival, her origin outside Alaha, forces her to question her understanding of herself. Her emerging magical abilities challenge her trained suspicion of magic, while the matching bond with Acker raises profound questions. Is their attraction genuine or magically manufactured? Can love be authentic if supernatural forces facilitate it? Jovi's betrayal of Acker represents her attempt to reclaim agency, defining herself through actions rather than destiny. A costly decision, yet their persistent connection suggests some bonds transcend choice. Identity emerges as fluid, shaped by both circumstance and choice, heritage and free will. In a world demanding we choose sides, Metalslinger reminds us that authenticity might exist where opposing forces meet, in that painful space where love and duty collide.